Kroger Tender Ray Beef, no other beef so fresh can be so tender, presents Hearts in Harmony, transcribed. K is for Kroger. C is for cut. B is for beef. KCB means Kroger cut beef. And Kroger cut beef means more meat for your money. It's a fact, ladies. And here's the reason Kroger cut beef gives you more meat, less waste. Before the meat is weighed and priced, the Kroger method of cutting beef removes excess bone, excess waste, and stringy ends. Yes, that's before the meat is weighed and priced. So you can see that means more meat for your money. You get top U.S. government grades of beef, meat that's tender, juicy, rich red, and marbled with just the right amount of flavory fat. You get a better value in top-grade beef. For example, when you buy a Kroger-cut porterhouse steak, the Kroger method of cutting beef removes the long stringy end and excess waste before the steak is weighed and priced. You don't pay steak price for stringy meat and excess waste. Remember, whether you buy a steak or roast, you receive more meat, less waste. But see for yourself. Visit your neighborhood Kroger store. Get Kroger cut beef and get more meat for your money. And now, Hearts in Harmony. No one knows the reason yet, but Peg Martin has been brooding in her room since late last night when she came home from a secret meeting with Barry Carlton. The reason, of course, is that Peg's plans to take Barry away from Penny Gibbs have failed. Freddie Lang has no idea how close he is to the truth, as he says to Penny,
"Maybe Peg's in her room because she knows there's no chance of her grabbing Barry Carlton away from you."
Freddie, I have certain suspicions about Peg myself, but I'm quite sure she isn't in love with Barry.
Oh, Gibbsy, why don't you grow up, huh? The world's full of dames who'd love anybody for the dough that Barry's got, even for one-tenth of what he's got.
Freddie, will you stop treating me like a child? I know that Peg's beautiful and clever, and maybe your suspicions about her are partly right. And if Peg does something to corroborate your suspicions and mine, I'll be ready for her, Freddie. I think I know how to handle it.
Hey, did that come out of you, Gibbsy? Say, I didn't know you could be so tough.
You don't know everything about me.
Let's come over you, huh? You know, you're all of a sudden making cracks with boxing gloves on them.
Look, Barry is somebody worth fighting for if I have to, Freddie. Though I don't think I will have to. But if there ever is a struggle, I'm not worried about the outcome of it.
Gibbsy, I've quit worrying about everything. And that includes your friend Peg Martin, too. For the first time since I've been in this house,
Excuse me, Freddie.
Yeah, sure.
Good morning, Miss Gibbs.
Well, hello, Mr. Williams. Come on in.
Hi, Dad. Mr. Williams. Well,
good morning, Freddie. I prefer that first salutation.
Yeah, he'll have a right to call you Dad in a couple of weeks, won't he?
He certainly will. I hope I'm not intruding dropping in like this, Miss Gibbs.
No, you certainly aren't. Nora said that you might be in today, so I kind of expected you. Recovered quickly from your accident.
Well, I don't have time to be an invalid, Miss Gibbs. My leg's still a little stiff, though.
Don't you complain, Mr. Williams. It's going to take me 3 weeks at least to fix that tractor that hurt your leg.
I guess the tractor didn't get the worst of the deal at that. Is Nora here?
Hello, Daddy.
Oh, good morning, Nora.
Mind, will you, Daddy?
I don't think so, Nora. I'm sure that underneath that wrinkled apron there beats a heart of gold. Well, I suppose you want to know why I made a special trip into town today, don't you?
Well, it's just a social call, isn't it?
No, Freddie, it's a little more than that. Sit down, all of you. You too, Miss Gibbs, because I want to make a speech.
Hey, sounds serious. Come on, Cricket, you sit over here beside me.
Okay. And I'll settle for the armchair.
Well, now that you're seated, I want you to be silent. Because, well, here's what I want to say. When a man is close to 50, if he hasn't done so already, he has to start thinking about what to do with what he owns and decide to whom he should bequeath his belongings and his property at his death.
Oh, Cricket, Daddy, don't talk.
It's all right, darling. I don't plan on dying for a long time to come. But to go on with what I was saying, it must be a fine and satisfying thing for a man to know that after he's dead, those loved ones he's left behind are enjoying the fruits of his life handed down to them at his death. But I'm a selfish man. I want to see my loved ones enjoying and benefiting from my gifts while I'm still alive. And I want to live a long time after I make my bequest, so that I may selfishly gloat over the fact that I made a gift to two young people and helped them along in life.
Oh, Cricket, Daddy, you don't have to give us anything.
No, we'll get along great with what we've got.
Sure.
Freddie, you and Nora don't have all I want you to have. I don't have all that I want to give you. All I own is the farm.
Oh, no, Dad.
Nora, you shouldn't interrupt. Your father's doing this because he wants to.
Hey, Gibbsy, you got a look on your face like you knew this was coming.
I did, Freddie. Mr. Williams told me last Sunday he was coming in to tell you this. You know, I'm glad you did come today, Mr. Williams. I don't think I could have kept the secret much longer.
Golly, I don't think I understand what's going on.
Well, darling, let me put it this way. On your wedding day, you and Freddie will sign a few papers, and the farm I now own will be the legal and sole property of Fred and Nora Lang.
Holy mackerel, Mr. Williams. You're not turning the whole joint over to us, are you?
The whole, as you say, joint, Freddie. The buildings, the machinery, the stock, the land, and all that's on it and under it.
Crickets.
Yep, and we even get the crickets on it, Cricket.
Oh, Daddy, darling Daddy, what a wonderful wedding present.
Oh, I'm sorry I couldn't save the surprise for your wedding day, Nora, but there are a lot of preliminary papers that you'll have to sign prior to the actual transfer papers, which will take a week or two, and I want the final paper to be signed as your first official act as man and wife.
Well, I guess that Nora and I ought to make a speech right back at you, Mr. Williams. I mean, Dad, but I guess we can't top yours. Because you came prepared.
Your speech isn't necessary, son. I didn't want thanks. Just let me watch you and Nora make the farm a bigger and better farm every year, with a richer, fuller harvest every year. And let me watch you both prosper and live lives that are rich and full.
Daddy, I think I'm going to cry.
Oh, no, you don't, Nora. You know, future farmers' wives don't cry.
No, I guess they don't.
Well, Nora, I'm afraid if getting the farm almost made you cry, you'd better get out your handkerchief for what's coming next.
Next.
Oh, no, this is enough for one day.
Well, I think you can stand one more thing. Miss Gibbs, I'll sit down now. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Wayne. Nora and Freddie.
Yeah?
Oh. Well, look, neither one of you have had very much in your lives. I haven't either, but I've certainly had a lot more than either one of you have had. And in a few weeks, I'm going to have a great deal. I'm going to be rich. So rich that it frightens.
I wish somebody would try to scare me with a few million bucks.
Yes, believe me, Freddie, if it were handed to you, you would tremble.
Tremble? Gibbsy, I'd collapse.
Oh, Freddie, stop trying to be funny. Miss Gibbs wants to say something.
Yes, no, I do want to say something. I think that I'm going to have to make the same apology Mr. Williams just made. I should save this for your wedding day, but there are certain legal matters that have to be handled now so that the gift can be made on the day you are married.
Holy mackerel, Nora. This getting married sure has its legal problems, hasn't it?
Freddie, be quiet.
I'm sorry. I'll be good, Gibbsy. But honest, look, the same thing goes for you that went for Mr. Williams. You don't have to give us anything.
No, I want to, Freddie. You know, you and Nora mean a great deal to me. More than you know and more than I know how to tell you. But, as I was saying, I'm going to have everything when I'm Mrs. Barry Carton, and I'd like to share it. So, you and Nora are building a house on the farm. And Barry and I are giving you that house as a wedding present.
What?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I feel dizzy.
Oh, no, Gibbsy, nothing doing. Honest, it's swell of you, but we just can't let you do it. And Barry shouldn't give us anything at all.
He wants to, Freddie. It was his idea.
Don't be worried about the house you already contracted for, son. I've known this for several days, and I told your contractor to hold off until he got his new plan.
His new plan?
Yes, Freddie. Barry and I want you to have a little bit larger house than you were going to build. After all, there is a future, you know.
Well, I...
And Barry and I want to have a place to stay when you invite us to come and see you.
Oh, Crickets, I don't know whether it's hot or cold in here. Which is it? I'm all kinds of things.
I know one thing you are, darling. You're the sweetest and kindest person I've ever known, Nora. And I'm doing a very small thing to repay you for all you've done for me. And for my family. Yet my only unhappiness in seeing you married and in the home of your own is that losing you is like losing part of myself.
Oh, hello, Freddie.
Can you drop a couple of stitches and stop that sewing machine a minute?
Yep. There we go. It stopped.
Good.
Hey, what's the matter? You look serious.
Well, I feel serious. You know, those were a couple of great speeches you and Nora's dad made this morning, and, well, they hit Nora so hard she cried most of this afternoon.
They were happy tears, Freddie.
Yeah, I know they were. I got happy tears, too, Gibbsy, only they're still inside. But, well, I want to say something, too. I got my little speech in to Mr. Williams on the way out to the farm tonight, but, well, now I've got one that I want to make to you.
Oh, Freddie, you don't have to make any speech to me.
Well,
Barry and I get a great deal of pleasure giving you and Nora that house.
Well, the speech isn't about the house at all, Gibbsy. It's about you. And, you know, I hope you don't mind because I call you Gibbsy. I know it sounds kind of fresh and everything, but it isn't meant to be. You know that. It's kind of my pet name for my favorite girl. And that's what I wanted to tell you about. How you're the greatest person I've ever known.
Freddie, you'll meet a lot finer and better people than I am.
No, wait, Gibbsy. Let me say this, will you?
Look, I know what you're going to say, Freddie.
No, you don't. Because I just knew what I was going to say myself, driving in from the farm just now. Gibbsy, I don't owe you thanks or anything as flimsy as that. I owe you everything I am and have and everything I'll ever be or ever have. You know how I want to get married, have a home of my own, but... Well, honest, I hate to move out of here. Because this is the first place in my life that I've ever called home. And you and your mother and dad and your brother and little Valerie are just about the first people that I've ever called a family.
Oh, Freddie, I'm glad you felt that way about this place. And about us.
Well, I couldn't help it. You made me feel that way. Well, I figured that I was going to be able to pay you back someday, Gibbsy. Make up for all you've given me. But now I know I never will. I guess that's just about the one bad thing about you marrying Barry Carlton. He can do more for you in one day than I can in a lifetime. But I still want to pay you back, Gibbsy. Now, how can I?
Freddie, you've already paid me for what I've done for you. You've repaid me by turning out to be the kind of man I wanted you to be. You know, you were almost a hopeless case when you first came into this house.
Yeah, I know about that, too. Gibbsy, you should have thrown me out.
No, sir, I should have done just what I did, too. Take you in. Because that really is all I did for you, Freddie. The rest you did for yourself. By responding to love and understanding, trust, loyalty.
Yeah, Gibbsy. You taught me that there were such things as love and trust and all that. And I want to tell you something. No matter what happens to you or to me, wherever you are or I am, you can count on me for love and trust and all that other stuff. Yeah, all that and more.
Nora and Freddie are going to start out in life with a great deal more than most young married couples, aren't they? Is Penny's happiness going to be as sure and complete as theirs? Be sure to listen to the next dramatic episode of Hearts in Harmony. KCB. KCB. KCB means Kroger cut beef. And Kroger cut beef means more meat for your money. Yes, Kroger cut beef gives you more meat, less waste. Because before the meat is weighed and priced, the Kroger method of cutting beef removes excess bone, excess waste, and stringy ends. In buying Kroger cut rib roast, for example, you don't pay rib roast price for excess bone and waste. The chine bone is trimmed, the waste and short rib end removed, giving you top U.S. government grades of beef that's tender, juicy, rich red, and marbled with just the right amount of flavory fat. And before the meat is weighed and priced, the Kroger method of cutting beef removes excess bone, waste, and stringy ends. Remember, whether you buy a steak or roast, Kroger cut beef gives you more meat for your money. But mind you can get Kroger cut beef only at your neighborhood Kroger store. So go there as soon as you can. Step up to the meat counter and ask the Kroger meat man for Kroger cut beef. You'll get delicious and juicy and tender beef. And you'll get more meat, less waste. That means you get more meat for your money at your Kroger store. Listen in again tomorrow, same time, same station, for another thrilling transcribed chapter of Hearts in Harmony.